The birthdays were really great today. Makes us realize it works if you work it. Today we're going to be studying the family afterward, which I haven't done before. I've usually just done the first 102 pages because that's what Joe Charlie did. And then I covered a vision for you, but we did to wives the last couple weeks, and I thought that was great. I got a lot out of it. The podcasts are on the site if you want to listen. There are a lot of spiritual principles in there that if I follow, my life will be better. I've studied the family afterward. I'm probably going to skip some, but there's some real good stuff in here, and we'll see what we can get out of it, and then we'll open it up. The family afterward, assuming you have a family, when you get in here, a lot of people have lost, but there are always reconciliations, and like John said, you just don't know what is going to come. We all pay a price, like John said, for getting here, but it's really cheap compared to what we get. And it says, our women folk have suggested certain attitudes. This is from To Wives. A wife may take with the husband who is recovering. Now, these first three paragraphs really are a summary of page 84 and 60 to 61, the big book. It says, our wife has suggested certain attitudes which you should take with your husband who's recovering. But there are also certain attitudes that the husband should take to the family. And perhaps they created the impression that he is to be wrapped in cotton wool and placed on a pedestal. Successful readjustment means the opposite. All members of the family should meet upon the common ground of tolerance, understanding, and love. Where is that in the big book? Page 84, love and tolerance is our code. It says on page 83, with the family, we should pray for patience, love, God, kindness, and tolerance in the morning, right? And we should pray for that for everyone that we see each day. And if we meet on that common ground, that's what you're going to get. I think one of the themes of the wives and the family afterward is you get what you give. And when I'm thinking about it, my fourth step was a reflection of what I brought into life, what I got out of it. You know, if we're self-centered, dishonest, self-seeking, inconsiderate, and afraid, what do we get out of our interactions and our relationships? And we get very negative things. And it says this involves a process of deflation. So we have to deflate from what? To get love, tolerance, understanding, we have to deflation of ego, of self. And remember Bill's story, I think it's page 13, I don't know, don't turn there. He says, a simple price has to be paid. Remember what it is? The destruction of what? Self-centeredness. And so the steps are actually deflation of our ego. Like we read in the second step proposition, remember by Henry Theobald, who was the psychiatrist who went to AA in the 1940s, that we have to really deflate our ego in order to be able to practice this new way of life. And the steps are a process of deflation, of letting go of our ego and letting God come in and change us. That's the psychic change that they talk about. The alcoholic, his wife, his children, his in-laws, each one is likely to have fixed ideas about the family's attitude towards himself or herself. So what a shock. People have fixed ideas about how people should relate to them. Does that sound like alcoholism? See, the family has it too, because we're all self-centered to some extent. And so we all have our own ideas about everybody, and it's fixed ideas. And so if we keep our fixed ideas, nothing changes. Remember, we have to let go of our old ideas, absolutely, right? Or the result, nil. So if people have fixed ideas about how I'm supposed to be or they're supposed to be, then that's going to set up conflict. Because everybody is just who they are. And then we have to learn to relate to them as they are, not as we expect them to be. We can't change them, we can only change me. And I have to remember that all the time. I had to remember that this morning. That's all I'll say about that. I'm just joking, but it works. You have to do it at home all the time if you're in a relationship. Each is interested in having his or her wishes respected. See, we're all concerned about how people are relating to us. And remember, alcoholics want approval. They want their self-esteem is low. We're easily threatened. Our pride is hurt easily. So we want to be respected, and if we don't think we're getting that, we get mad. And so we have to change the way what we bring into each situation. We find the more one member of the family demands that the others concede to him, the more resentful they become. I mean, this is a basic principle of our lives when we're self-centered. The more I demand of others and I want them to concede to me, the more I'm in conflict with everyone and everybody. Page 60, 61, a life run on self-will can never be successful, right? We're in conflict with everybody and everyone. We're the actor trying to arrange the stage, the show, and it never goes off well. Well, if we're arranging the family and how they're supposed to be and how they're supposed to relate to everybody, aren't we doing the same thing? And then we're going to be in conflict with them. It's very hard to change old ideas in relationships when you're new or even old and you're in the program. And we hear a lot about that when we have discussion meetings about these conflicts that come about. One person may be trying to live a spiritual life, the other one may still be into their fixed ideas. And so it's very hard. But love and tolerance will always work. It says this makes for discord and unhappiness, and people can talk about that. We're going to try to leave some time for discussion. And why? Well, here it is. Is it not because each wants to play the lead? It's page 60-61 again. Everybody's running the show. Is he not each trying to arrange the family show to his liking? So you come back from treatment, or you're in 30 days or 60 days, and you have a plan on how the family should be. Well, they've got their own plan. And so there's conflict arises from that. It's very hard to let go of your plan and running the show. And the only thing you can do is you can let go of your running the show. You can't change them. But if you don't react to that, then they don't have power over you. And after a while, they're going to change the way they relate to you. So it's hard to do. They don't tell you how to do it. They just say you suggest it. Is he not unconsciously trying to see what he can take from the family life rather than give? Cessation of drinking is but the first step away from a highly strained abnormal condition. Remember, it says there's long periods of reconstruction ahead. Stopping drinking is just the beginning. It's one of Brian's favorite paragraphs. We have years of reconstruction. A doctor said years of living with an alcoholic is almost sure to make any wife or child neurotic. Neurotic is not good, by the way. Somebody look up the definition and read it. The entire family is to some extent ill. Well, I think it's very true. I've been having somebody texting me about somebody's continuing to get drunk, and this poor person has been struggling with this for 5 years, and I said, please, please go to Al-Anon, call someone, get some help. You're not going to change the situation. And it's very hard for them to let go. Let families realize as they start the journey that all will not be fair weather. Each in his turn may be footsore and may struggle. I like these. There may be alluring shortcuts and bypaths down which they may wander and lose their way. Well, we get off the path, don't we? We get off the spiritual path and we get in our self-centeredness. We get away from the path to God and then things don't go well. I'm going to go down to the third paragraph. Father knows he is to blame. It may take him many seasons of hard work, page 123, to be restored financially, but he shouldn't be reproached. Perhaps he will never have much money again, but the wise family will admire him for what he's trying to be rather than what he is trying to get. This is another theme of the spiritual principles of the big book, is how we be. And if we be, we get in return. So how should we be? Loving, kind, tolerant, patient, considerate, compassionate. If we bring that's our spiritual checklist. If we bring the right-hand side into all of our situations, we're going to get a peaceful life. We're going to be able to react in a fit spiritual manner. If we don't, then the S hits the fan. And so how are you trying to be rather than what you're trying to get? In other words, when you're trying to get something, you're back in self. And then you may not get what you want, and then you get threatened, and then you get angry, or you get afraid you're not going to get what you want. Let's go back to, let's go to page 124 to Henry Ford. Henry Ford, he started the, I guess he developed the Ford, but he started the production line, the whole idea of being able to mass produce. He said, once made a wise remark to the effect that experience is the thing of supreme value in life. Now remember, we bring our experience as an alcoholic into AA. And that experience can help us take the first step, right? And our experience can help us take the second step and be willing to make a decision. So that experience is really important. That experience can also save another alcoholic, and they're going to talk about that. It says, this is true if only one is willing to turn the past to good account. So it says we should not regret the past nor shut the door. And people are saying, well, how can I not regret the past? Well, they're going to talk about that. We grow by our willingness to face and rectify errors and convert them into assets. Isn't that what we try to do when we do the steps? We're willing to face and rectify errors, steps 8 and 9, and we look at steps 4 and 5, and we're beginning to forgive everyone that we've been angry at. The alcoholic's past thus becomes the principal asset of the family and frequently is the only one. This painful past may have been infinite value to other families still struggling with their problem. You know, if you're in a family and you're in Al-Anon, I'm sure they do this, they work with other families and they relate their experience and help them work the spiritual principles. And you relate your struggles and how you were able to overcome them. We think each family which has been relieved owes something to those who have not, and when the occasion requires, each member of it should be only too willing to bring former mistakes, no matter how grievous, out of their hiding places. Showing others who suffer how we were given help is the very thing which life makes life seem so worthwhile to us now. Now, isn't that what we're supposed to do when we tell our story? Isn't that we're supposed to tell how we were given help and how we were able to develop a relationship with God? Isn't that what people really want to hear? A lot of people tell me they want to hear my story. Well, they just want to hear the dirt about me. Well, that may help you. It may make you feel better, but the bottom line is I got down on my knees and I surrendered. And I'm able to have a relationship with God, and I'm here today, 15 and a half years later. And cling to the thought that, I like this, in God's hands, the dark past is the greatest possession you have. Think about that. The key to life and happiness for others. Remember, we're supposed to share our struggles with the new alcoholic and how we came to be defeated and then what happened when we did. With it, you can avert death and misery for them. So I really like that paragraph. Turning to the top of page 25, husbands whose wives have sometimes been obliged to separate for a time until new perspective, new victory over hurt pride. And they're talking about people who've had relationships outside of the marriage or whatever they were in and how they bring this up. And it's very hard to get over hurt pride. And you hear a lot of people talking about the resentments with their exes, but a lot of that was hurt pride from the ex, and it's very hard for them to change. And even though we may have changed and want to be forgiven, they still have their hurt pride and they may not be ready to deal with that. And it can go on for years. In most cases, the alcoholic survived this ordeal without relapse, but not always. So we think that unless some good and useful purpose is to be served, past occurrences should not be discussed. That's the kind of thing you should discuss with your sponsor. And we talk about it when we make amends. We have several paragraphs on that. They talk here about, in the next paragraph, about scandalous gossip. Laughter at the expense of other people. That never happens in AA. Tendency to take advantage of intimate information. Among us, these are rare occurrences. We do talk about each other a great deal. And we remember Dr. Bob said the tongue is our biggest enemy. And gossip, and I have to watch for that all the time. Spiritual arrogance is, we all get that at some point. We think about what other people should do or how they should be. We all have that. And I have to watch for that because that's dangerous, because we're all on a vertical level. We're all the same. And the thing that really helps with that is to practice consideration all the time. People are just who they are. We're all God's kids. God loves us all. Another principle we observe carefully is that we do not relate intimate experiences with another person unless we are sure he would approve. We find it better to stick to our own stories. I think that's a good idea. Criticism or ridicule coming from another often produces the contrary effect. Sometimes we try to be funny, and we think we're funny by kind of making little jabs at the other person, and they don't think it's funny. And it's something I try to watch for all the time. None of us are perfect in any of this, but we need to watch for it. We all do this. We alcoholics are sensitive people. I think that's an understatement. It takes some of us a long time to outgrow that serious handicap. I think it's very hard to outgo that desire for people to like you, that desire for approval. Has anybody else had that? They govern their whole life. It's very hard to get away from that, but you have to recognize when that comes up and say, you know, this is what's happening, and I really don't, it doesn't matter what the other person really thinks. It only matters how I be and do. That's very hard to overcome, but the way I do is try to get connected to God and how God would see things. It takes some of us a long time to outgrow that serious handicap. So you use the principles of 6 and 7 all day long to overcome your characteristics of self-will. It says, the next paragraph, they're talking about how the alcoholic plunges into business. And page 126, he tries to solve the economic problem. Did anybody do that? They want to get back on their feet. They want to show everybody they're okay. They feel inside like they need to make good to the outside world. Well, isn't that worship of other things? Isn't that separation from God? We all have done that. It's a normal thing, but that gets you back in the self. And then you start making changes. You neglect the family. You neglect the spouse. You're back in self. And then if they interfere with your plan to get back to how you think you should be, then you get angry at them. That sets up the whole cycle again. And so that's another thing you have to watch out for. We all have to watch out for these things. Then the next paragraph is about the same thing, how the mother and the child feels neglected. And it says, in the third paragraph, but dad doesn't give freely of himself, resentment grows. Well, they get resentful that you're involved in your business, and you go, well, I'm working 18 hours a day so you can be happy. Well, is that really a true statement? Is it really true? You're working 18 hours a day so you can prove to yourself and everybody else how good you are. And we don't want to do that anymore. We don't want to try to gain self-esteem by these acts that are self-centered. Is your goal to be loving and tolerant and play the role God assigns, or is it for people to recognize you, that you're okay? And then you're using that recognition to make you feel good, and that's never going to be enough. Never works. The family is mystified. He explodes over a trifle. Anybody explode over a trifle? They're at another meeting. They're not here today. The family is mystified. They criticize, pointing out how he's falling down in the spiritual program. Well, how are you falling down your spiritual program? You're back in self. You're back in what you can do to make you feel good in relation to how you see yourself and others. In the next page, 127, it says, the family must realize that dad, though, is still convalescing. They should be thankful he is sober and able to be in this world once more. Let him praise his progress. If they sense these things, it will not take so seriously the periods of crankiness, depression, or apathy, which will disappear when there is tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding. So they try to give you tolerance, love, and spiritual understanding, and then it'll be reflect back on you. But the alcoholic needs to watch, and that's why you need sponsorship. That's why you need to work steps 10 to 11 every day. You need to change your attitude. You need to watch for your selfishness and your self-centeredness, and when it crops up, ask God to remove it. And just being sober is not enough. So a lot of people say, I'm sober now, you know, you should be happy. But if you're still self-centered and you're still into self, nothing's really changed. Except you're not drunk and you're not acting out when you're drunk. The next paragraph said, the head of the household ought to remember he's mainly to blame for what befell his home. He could scarcely square the account in his lifetime. I think that's true. He must see the danger of over-concentration on financial success. Although financial recovery is on the way for many of us, we found it could not we could not place money first. Remember, whatever you place first becomes your higher power. And then you have no relationship with God. And I love this next line. For us, material well-being always followed spiritual progress. It never preceded us. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a powerful line. It says, first things first. First the kingdom of God. First the relationship of God. Play the role God assigned. Stay close to him. And then remember, God's your employer. And do his work well, and then you'll get everything you need. So if you decide you need money to be happy, then you're separating from God. You're back in self. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that men make when they get back into recovery. And women too. Yeah. But I can only speak for men. But women too. Don speaking for the women. There you go. Since the home has suffered more than anything else, does anybody else relate to this? We'll open it up soon. People will talk. The home has suffered more than the health. It is well that a man exert himself there. He's not likely to get far in any direction if he fails to show unselfishness and love under his own roof. Well, here's the principle. You can go to the meeting. You can be the AA guru. But what are you like when you get out of here? What's the 23 hours a day? How are you at home? How are you at work? How are you with other in situations? What spiritual principles are you practicing? And then that will determine how you feel. And if you're not feeling well and you're in sobriety, ask yourself, work the steps. Do a four-step. Look at what you're angry at. Look at what you're afraid of. Look at what's become your higher power. See your character defects. Share them with another person. Say the prayers for resentment and fear. The only reason to stay unhappy in sobriety is if you don't want to do the steps. But if you do the steps, and then the steps are a continuous process, if you keep doing them, you watch for these things. They're going to crop up in all of us, and then you look at them and you use the spiritual principles. As each member of a resentful family begins to see his shortcomings, admits them to others, it lays the basis for helpful discussion. I think that's hard. The family talks can be constructive if they're carried on without heated argument, self-pity, self-justification, or resentful criticism. I think that's very hard to do for everyone. And I have a few people who go to Al-Anon speak to it, but I think the people who go to Al-Anon, the families that go to Al-Anon and with the alcoholics, I think it's easier for them to try to practice this because they both have sponsors, they both have people they can go to try to work the spiritual program. But some people don't want to change. Some family members don't want to change. Here's a great one on page 128. Giving rather than getting will become the guiding principle. Isn't that the guiding principle of AA? Service, love and service, give to others. Love your neighbor as yourself. What can I do how can I serve God and others? It says that's our primary purpose, right? I'm just gonna read maybe one more paragraph. The next one is about how we become spiritual gurus and we drive the family crazy, talking about spiritual matters all the time. And the next, sometimes, I guess this is on tape, it's going to be the end of me, but sometimes at home there's a resentment going on with several family members, and I'll just make a comment, you know, about letting go and, whatever. And sometimes I'll hear, I really don't want the spiritual principles right now. You know, and I understand that. But and it's easy to see it in others and not in yourself. But if you try to, if people understand the spiritual principles, you can see how it changes. On the other hand, I've heard family members talking to one of their children about how the resentment's killing you and you have to let go of it and you're the only person that can change. And so these spiritual principles apply to all of us. It says, when father takes this tack, the family may react unfavorably. This is be when he becomes a God-crazy person in the home. While grateful that he drinks no more, they may not like the idea that God has accomplished the miracle where they failed. And that's another thing. I often forget father was beyond human aid. And then... here on page 129, two lines, at the bottom of the top paragraph, father feels he struck something like gold, and it says, he has barely scratched a limitless load, which will pay dividends only if he mines it for the rest of his life. So we just make a beginning in AA, right? The more we do, the more we get. Remember, the spiritual journey never ends. So the more you keep doing it, the more you get. And we talk about that all the time. And remember, we only have a daily reprieve based on our fit spiritual condition. And insists he gives away the whole product. So ask yourself, what are you giving away? Are you giving away at home and work, or are you working with someone too? That's another point that we're going to get to. We'll do that next week. It says, if the family cooperates, Dad will see that he is suffering from a distortion of values. He will perceive that his growth is lopsided, that for an average man like himself, a spiritual life which does not include his family obligations may not be perfect after all. And I think we'll end with that. I mean, it's really, the 12th step, it talks about having had a spiritual awakening. Everybody remembers that, right? And carrying this message to other alcoholics. But remember, we have to practice the principles in all our affairs. And if I don't practice principles in all our affairs, nothing's going to change. Now, it doesn't say we practice them perfectly, but we try. We have a 10th and 11th step to try to do it each day. And then at night, remember, it says we review our day. Were we selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, or afraid? What could we have done differently? Were we bringing love in every situation? Were we thinking of ourselves all the time? What could I have done better? So it's a constant program of looking at ourselves to change and become the person God wants us to be. So just working the steps one time or going to a lot of meetings, that may help you, but I think what works for me is I need to do 10 and 11 and 12 all the time. And I have to live in that. And the more I live in that, the better my day goes. And if I have a bad day, it's my fault. We talked about that the other day. It's the way I'm seeing things. I'm back in self. So we'll open it up and we'll pick up on page 129 next week. There's some really good stuff in the next few pages. So I hope this was helpful. I think there's a lot of spiritual principles in here. And the book's very consistent. So... I would appreciate any comments you might have, or you can reach me at mhurwitz50@gmail.com. If you find this site helpful, share with your AA friends. Thank you.